Good afternoon. Welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, a market that one described it as just being kind of tired. We had, of course, a cancellation coming from China that affected the wheat market, and the soybeans just could not pull themselves above the water. We kind of saw that as well on the livestock side, a lot of negativity feel going on. We're going to get a lot of details today, including what's going on in South America with Don Rose. Don is with U.S. Commodities, and I think we need to start out because everybody this morning on social media, Don, was talking about this China cancellation, you know, that whole buy the rumor, sell the fact situation. And it sure brought wheat up to another positive trade day.
Yeah, it did, Susan. I think that's the point. I mean, we've been under a lot of pressure. We've reached some levels where Russia's been selling wheat way below the market. Egypt picked up some big purchases here last week, gave us some support there, but and a key reversal last week. So moving fast forward, you're just like you said, we had a big cancellation and, you know, maybe more to come, and the market reacted positive. So I think the point is we've got an awful lot of negative news dialed into this market. And I think the trade's looking forward now to listen, what can happen around the United States, weather switching to North America, you know, dry in a lot of areas. So I think we've kind of matured past the bearish news, reacting positive to negative news.
So what's your takeaway on this wheat market? Because it definitely struggled again today.
Well, you know, I think overall the market, you know, when you look at it, we had a key reversal in the wheat, you know, here last week. That was a big positive sign. We get negative news out of China cancellation, and the market goes up sharply. So I think really what it means is we've just got the news dialed in. We're at fair market value, and I think we're looking forward to, you know, what can happen, you know, with the weather as we move forward, really.
Now, you're not only just talking weather here in the United States. You're looking at weather in South America at this point, too, aren't you?
Well, you know, most definitely. I think when you look at the weather tomorrow, we're going to have CONAB in the morning is going to come out with their estimate on what they think the size of the corn and soybean crop in Brazil is. And by the way, there's a huge discrepancy between Brazil and our CONAB and the USDA. So to put it in, how much of a discrepancy? Anywhere from 330 million to 400. 40 million bushels on soybeans, and somewhere around 310, 320 million bushels on corn. So not even close when you're talking those numbers, basically the whole carry out on soybeans. But the weather, most definitely, you know, yield so far, we're about 60% harvested on Brazil soybeans, of course, in the north coming down, and about 99% planted on the second corn crop in Mato Grosso. But yield so far, actually, Susan, on the soybeans is consistently under what the farmer thought. So now maybe it's going to pick up as we move further south here and more aggressive, but getting pretty far along in the harvest. And looking at the weather going forward, most definitely, I think that kind of helped give the corn a boost here today. The 6 to 10 day forecast, basically 10 day forecast for the Safrina corn. That's more the concern as they're going to hit pollination the end of March into April. And it's a 10 day forecast is dry and hot in the 90s. The 11 to 15 day maps, which were supposed to pull some moisture through, really didn't have it in the maps here. So in the GFS or the EU. So I think it's concerning for the Brazil second corn crop, the exportable crop. Argentina, by the way, is pretty favorable.
Now, it's kind of nice that folks might not know, you and I are talking right now. You are not in the United States in your U.S. office. You are in your South American office. So what has been the feel amongst producers as they get this crop harvested? Are they happy with yield numbers? Is there some discrepancies out there?
Well, you know, I think most definitely on the yield, first of all, on soybeans, it's, yeah, I think it's disappointing so far, you know, far enough along. So I think they believe, you know, they watch the markets just like we do here, and they believe that their government, CONAB, is more accurate than the U.S. government, think that they're just not on pace with what's really happening, you know, so we'll see. I think that's really the rub that we have. And as far as the second corn crop, You know, the prices were pretty low. July, when they were planting, most of the corn, it was really the price July into August was really, I would say, $2.65 a bushel to $3. So really, they cut back on fertilizer, cut back on some of the inputs. And I think if this heat comes at us, continues to come at us, as the monsoon might be dying early, it's going to be a real effect as far as the yield, Susan.
Does it come as any surprise that we continue to hear those weather discrepancies here in the U.S. as they look at weather in South America?
Well, you know, as far as the yield, I think most definitely. I mean, I think if you're on the ground in South America that, you know, you just think that the numbers are just off to way off in the United States. But we'll see. Government is slow to react, actually gave us some bearish numbers on Thursday or Friday. I don't think the trade respected those because, you know, we had a 20-cent push up in soybeans on that day. So, and I think we're really starting to switch to the weather here in the U.S. We're not that far away, Susan, from what, 14 trading days now away from the big acres and stocks and all positions report. So, that's going to be a market mover. And then weather as we go forward continues to bubble to the top here. And, the northeast corner of Iowa is kind of the epicenter of the drought, but it really fans out through a lot of the western Corn Belt.
All right, well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more to look at as we get ready for the second half of the Monday version of the Channel Final Bell. As you heard, the CONAB, of course, numbers coming out tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Well, let's take a look at other factors that are pushing the market, like what we saw on the livestock side, to the negative. More is coming up. It is the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. Welcome back once again to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Don Rose. Don, of course, is with U.S. Commodities. And during the front half, Don, you were talking about the CONAB numbers that are set to come out. How much of an influence or how much watching should we do in the marketplace tomorrow when all that comes out?
But yeah, Susan, I think it's probably more important how we react to the news than anything else. You know, we actually had bearish news on Friday and the market moved higher. So we'll see what CONAB comes out with. But my guess is our government is 156 metric tons. That's almost 5.7 billion bushels. And my guess is that CONAB is going to be closer to 147, but we'll see, which is closer to a 5.35 billion. So I think there's about a 300 million bushel difference. So we'll see once if they actually come up with, I think so. Same thing with the corn crop. It's not even close. The government's basically at about a 4.9 billion bushel crop. And I wouldn't be surprised if CONAB comes out with more like a 4.7 billion bushel crop. But, and those are market making differences when you're looking at the U.S. and the world ending stocks. So, the discrepancy is there, and we'll see once how the trade reacts to them, whether they're bullish or bearish numbers, much like we saw on Friday with the USDA numbers.
So I'm curious, when you talk about those discrepancies, what is the differentiation, and why do we not see kind of more equalized information? Is it because we got two totally different governments looking at data?
Well, yeah, I think when you look at it, Susan, I think, one, our USDA moves very slow. They don't want to have an erratic type of trade. They don't want to go too low and then have to move it up and back and forth. So, you know, historically, they've moved down slow, just like last year. They moved the yield up on corn slow right into the very end of the January final report, taking it up 2.4 bushels. So I think it's more that they move down slower. And the Brazil government is trying to be just what it is right now. And I would suspect that the USDA starts to move closer to Brazil than Brazil moving closer to the USDA on both corn and soybeans. So another interesting one is in the last report, the government did say that they're not going to take the import numbers from China on their demand. And remember, they're the largest soybean buyer in the world. They don't trust their numbers anymore. And so they say they're going to count vessels versus taking the numbers from the China on the import numbers of soybeans and meal.
Interesting. Anything else on the grain side that you want to talk about before we switch to livestock?
Well, you know, I think that it's, you know, we've got some very dry conditions across the Midwest, and that probably is going to be a focal point as we hit the March 28th report, and then we have a three-day holiday weekend, so a lot of fireworks coming up there around Good Friday.
All right, let's look at the livestock side, and again, another market that just couldn't seem to get any fire going into it, and we saw kind of the start of the week with a lot of negativity. What's your takeaway from this cattle complex?
Well, you know, I think one, you know, the corn market higher, you know, that's always an anchor for the feeder cattle, the cattle in general. But, you know, I don't think it's about the numbers. It's well documented that the cattle numbers are going to be tight, you know, going to be tight here for a couple of years. Just not going to have that many twins or triplets, you know, to make up the difference. Impossible. I mean, we know that on a sidebar of. But anyway, I think it's really about the demand side of the market. And I think when you look at the heart of it, January beef exports were actually down 4.1% versus a year ago. And you look at some of these countries, Japan down 11%, South Korea down 2.5%, China down 12%. Of course, then the big winner, Mexico, our border, up 17% versus a year ago. So, and we're also bringing in a lot of meat. Our beef imports we're up 38% versus a year ago, and most of that coming from Brazil, up almost 50%. So, you know, I guess my point is our exports are slowing down, our imports are increasing, and is our domestic demand going to hold with higher interest rates? So it's the demand side and some of these structures around the world that I think you have to look at as much as you do the tightness in the cattle market going forward.
Don, do you think this sets the tone, though, for the rest of the week, or is there a chance for a turnaround Tuesday?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it, I think it's a slow rollover in the beef market. I think the trade wants to still be positive. The fundamentals domestically are positive on cattle. So, you know, it feels like a market that wanted to test some of those last year highs. Kind of turn back here, kind of measuring with the packer losing money, measuring, you know, some of these other things. So I think it's on hold here. The technicals are soft. You know, and the same thing when you look over the hog market, I know some of the technical LA Wave stuff thinks that maybe we put in a top in the hogs.
All right. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
You bet. Can reach us, Susan, at U.S. Commodities at 1-800-247-4071.
All right. That is today's Channel Final Bell, brought to you by Channel Seed and the local Channel Seed professional right here on the Rural Radio Network.